for today, I'd like to help us understand that generosity is from the heart. It's not for attention. It's not for applause. It's not generosity if I expect repayment. You can't fake it until you make it kind of thing. It is more and deeper than the way our host culture disciples us in and teaches us. And this generous heart is best illustrated by Jesus, who revealed to us a heart of generosity when he gave us his life. He laid his life down for you and I and for the church. So if you'd pull out your Bibles today, or if you have a Bible app, I'm going to flick that open and click to your Bible on your phone. Let's jump back into our theme scripture found in the collection of books we call the Bible today. Take out your notebooks as well, or again, flip to your notes app as well and find a fresh place to note what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today. Do you believe the Holy Spirit still speaks to you today?
Yes.
Good. Amen. There's a couple people who are going to walk away with something then tonight. And that is good. That's what we want to do. We want to walk away from here different than when I came. Hey, I've been faithing for a long time. Grew up under a pew. Have known Jesus, known about Jesus. Have had a head knowledge and a heart knowledge of Jesus. But I still want to leave here different than when I came. I still have attitudes that I still want the Holy Spirit to reshape. I still have dreams and desires that I want the Holy Spirit to lead me in. So I need him. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do tonight in Jesus' name. So as you're getting yourself in game mode, here are a couple questions that I'm posing today. I don't think I have them in the screens, but first one is, how can knowing what Jesus did for us inspire us to be more generous in our lives? How can knowing what Jesus did for us inspire me in my generosity? Number two is, what is a gift that only you can give? Think about that tonight. Maybe write it down in your notes. What is a gift that you can only give? All right, slide three, we're exploring the best gift ever. And the theme scripture that we are building on is found in James chapter 1 and verses 17. I'm going to read from the paraphrase, from the Passion Translation, and I'll go back to ESV in a second. The first one, James 1 and 17. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow of darkness and is never subject to change. So before we unpack today's lesson, what is the strangest gift that you have ever received? A toaster? Fanny pack? Skateboard? Rollerblades? What is the strangest gift that you ever got? Handcrafted paper dolls? My mom always gave me socks and underwear. That's the strangest gift for Christmas ever. Maybe you love that. But here's some examples of some pretty different gifts that have been given. On June 17th, 1885, France gave the USA the Statue of Liberty. Now, that's a pretty whack gift, isn't it? I've never been able to give someone the Statue of Liberty. Holland every year gives Canada thousands of tulip bulbs. One year, China gave the USA two panda bears. Like, only China could actually give someone panda bears as a gift, right? And in response, the USA gave China two musk oxen. Bit of a strange gift for sure. What is the strangest gift you've ever received? Justin Trudeau, a lovely friend we have, he has received over 400 personalized gifts since being in office. One of them was a portrait of him painted on a goat skin given to him by the Prime Minister of Ethiopia. Right? Strange gift, right? The weirdest gift. What is the weirdest gift, the wackest gift that you've ever received, or maybe that you've given? I love the odd gifts that people have given me. You know those ones like your sister bought you something for you, or your brother, and like scented hand cream or cookies, and it's only, you knew exactly, it was just so that they could share that gift later, right? You know very well that they had full intention of sharing it with you and maybe eating it before you even had a chance. What would I need body lotion for from Lush, right? Maybe some beard oil, but hey, not only these are maybe some strange gifts, but some of them are gifts that only the giver could ever give. Statue of Liberty? Panda bears? I'll probably never be able to gift someone panda bears or that Statue of Liberty in my life. Never, right? That's just crazy. But to bring this home and to be more personalized for us tonight, there is a gift that can only have been given by the giver, something you and I are actually unable to replicate or give ourselves. James 1:17, we read it already, but it writes it this way in the ESV. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Now let's unpack this for a few moments. See, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. From our own fallen natures and from those who would entice us, we expect no true goodness. But every good and every perfect gift comes from God, the Father of creation, who in heaven. And of course, the ultimate goodness of any gift must be measured on an eternal scale. Something that we may deem good and perfect, such as winning a lottery ticket or winning a lottery, may actually, in fact, be turned to our destruction. So the things that we might think is good and perfect is actually not good and perfect for you, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Scripture says, with whom there's no variation, there's a God who's never changing or shadow of turning. See, God's goodness is constant. There's no variation within him. He's not good today and not good for you tomorrow. Instead of shadows and darkness, God is the Father of lights. In the ancient Greek grammar, James actually wrote the Father of the lights. And these specific lights are the celestial bodies that God spoke into existence that light up the sky both day and night, as we all know. And enjoy the sun, the moon, and the stars. They never turn off, even when we can't see them. Even so, there is never a shadow with God. This means that God never changes. Among modern theologians, there are some that have been taken with something called process theology, which says that God is still maturing and God is still growing and in process himself. But the Bible simply says that there is no variation or shadow of turning with God. He is unchanging. He is not in process like you and I. He is the light of the world, and there is no darkness within him. He is good and perfect. He was and is and still is to come. Perfect, never changing. Verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creation. So we can see God's goodness in our salvation as he initiated our salvation of his own will. This was his plan, his desire, and brought us forth to spiritual life, a new birth, being born again into the kingdom of heaven by his word that is true and perfect, that we might be to his glory as first fruits of his harvest. Now, James may be speaking of his own generation of believers in this context, in this scripture, when he calls themselves first fruits. Yet some have speculated on this even more, saying that James has in mind a wider redemption story among unknown creatures of God, of which we are the continued first fruits of that wider redemption, that meta-narrative story. And this is what is so beautiful. The best gift ever was not only for the generations, what we see written about in history and in scripture. It is from generation to generation, friends, for all eternity. There's no time restraints on God. The gift was given, and the gift keeps on giving. And that is so much better than, I don't know about you, but I like Starbucks, and I've been playing this game, Shake the whatever thing on the app, and I might win Starbucks for life. I'm like, wow, Starbucks for life, can you imagine? I drink it every day, five times a day. But it's so much better than Starbucks. I know it's trivial, right? But life everlasting from glory to glory, house to house, generation to generation, for everyone, every tribe, tongue, and nation, for every man, woman, and child. This is crazy. It's the best gift ever. Jesus himself. And our world, I don't know about you, but you don't have to look around us very often and for very long to see that the world does not want the best gift ever. But he truly is the best gift. Let's take one more step. in slide 4 in the Gospel according to John, in John 3 and 16, well-known passage. The author is capturing the words of Jesus, who again is revealing to us the very same gift that we were just talking about. And here's what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the idea behind eternal life means much more than just a long or never-ending life. Some of you would be like, oh, I don't want that. But eternal life does not mean that. We just continue living the life of fallen humanity and that we live it forever. Instead, eternal life also has the idea of a certain quality of life, of a God kind of life. It is the kind of life God designed us to actually enjoy with him forever. And the wonderful thing is that eternal life with Jesus doesn't just begin after you die. Eternal life with Jesus begins when you believe on him. Let's see in verse 17, slide 5 for us. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, this truly is the greatest gift ever, the gift of salvation himself, Jesus. And what is the opposite? The worst gift ever? Well, let's look. Verse 19 gives us some insight, slide 6 for us. And this is the judgment or condemnation, some translations might say. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Verse 20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. If the best gift is life and life abundant, life overflowing in Christ Jesus, then the worst gift ever must be condemnation, as Scripture's pointing out. A life lost to imprisonment, convicted of crimes against God, sentenced to continue in death and in darkness, apart from Christ, or a Christless state of existence. Those who reject the greatest gift embrace condemnation. There is no neutrality, friends. It is a kingdom of light or a kingdom of darkness, and I'm in or serving one or the other. Yet humanity so often chooses to love darkness rather than the light. Opponents of Jesus and Christ's followership. Why? Because of our disordered desires and love for sin and brokenness. Shame, self-indulgence, broken habits, which unfortunately we often glorify and only imagine as heinous and great wrongs. Yet sin is simply demanding to be Lord over my own life. Sin is simply demanding to be Lord over my own decisions, over my own desires, over my own passions. And this alone, this posture, this desire, this framework that I live my life through bears the consequence and the fruit of death and dead works. But again, and I love these big buts in Scripture, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, friends, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, whoever believes in him is not condemned. See, it's really, really simple. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, living Christless, separated from Christ and the Father, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So what's keeping humanity from belief in Jesus and salvation? Is it sin or is it unbelief? I believe it's both. Because people will not believe because they actually love their sin and their broken habits, practicing in hatred of the light of God's truth, refusing the gift of life. One might say, sorry, Jesus, you're just not worth my time. Friends, this is what I have come to know, and many of you in this room have experienced. You can experience the gift of salvation, and sin itself is condemned. We have come to know this, that through our faith in Jesus, that you are no longer condemned. You are a saint. See, so often Christians are challenged with this idea. Saved, rescued, set free, no longer held captive, no longer judged to live separately from your reunion with God through faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And there is so much beauty to what we are reading in Scripture and that we continually unpack in Scripture, to what we've come to not only know but to experience. See, it's more than just a head knowledge, but it's also a heart knowledge. The grace of God is still shaping our lives as people who are led by Jesus and shaped by grace, the Holy Spirit, and moved by His love. We are being moved away, as we're being moved by His love, we are moved away from a life shaped by sin and darkness, ushered into His marvelous light, and into a life shaped by His wonderful and perfect grace. I thank God for this free gift of life and light. We call it salvation. I am no longer a sinner. I am no longer shaped by my shame and my regrets and my worries and my fears, lust or pride. And yes, I know for the skeptics that are in the room with us tonight, I have been there and still sometimes are. I am a saint, friends, who sometimes still sins. I am not perfect and not expected to be perfect. Christ is my perfection. Christ is my hope of glory. I am clothed with His robes of righteousness. I have received His family ring and sealed into redemption. I am free to walk in true love and in unity with God, my Father in creation. This is my free will exercised. And it has to exist because free love, I can't even speak right now. True love cannot exist without free will choice. So this is my free will being exercised, walking hand in hand with my Father. So the reunion that's made possible by His shaping grace in my life. And although I still make poor decisions, I still will and be tempted to do so and fail to make good ones all the time. Experience life and hardships, just like you, friends. Emote from a posture of selfishness. Holy Spirit nudges me and says, hey, there's a different way to live. Remember who you're following. Are you following your will and way, or are you following me? And it's just a point of reflection. A saint who sometimes makes mistakes, a saint who sometimes sins. Friends, I'm talking about the best gift ever. Sometimes we take that gift and we stick it away in the closet. But I'm asking you to unwrap that gift, to examine the best gift that you've ever been given, to take it out and ride that bike, play with that toy, make use of it. I still have an advocate, our Heavenly Father, who sits on the throne. Christ is seated in the right hand of God, meaning He has all power and authority. And where are you and I, friends? We are here spatially, taking up space and time here, and yet spiritually we are also seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in God, and He in us through the Holy Spirit, meaning all power and authority is residing in you when you believe to walk out the life that God has called you to live and walk. I'm talking about the best gift ever. This is a good God who has given good and great gifts. Friends, the gavel has been dropped. I am free in Christ Jesus to live this life that I have been gifted to live without bondage. I am empowered with the Holy Spirit in me to live this life with the same power that raised Christ from the dead, raising me from a life of dead works into a life that is separate and holy with God here and now. This is beautiful, friends. And it's good news. He who believes in him is not condemned, but lives in the light. Here is the contrast. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Men love the darkness rather than the light. Slide 7 for us. I love this gift of life and light. Jesus is the best gift ever. The gift that no one else could actually give but God. And the gift that keeps on giving through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. The mind and character of Jesus given to you. The shaping grace of God living in me and in you when you believe. For God so loved the world. Here's what we can learn from this passage. We've got 5 points for you tonight to learn quickly. Slide 8. We learn the object of God's love. For God so loved the world, friends. See, God did not wait for the world to turn to him before he loved the world. He loved and he gave his only begotten Son to the world when he was still the world, when he was still in the world. We learn the expression and the gift of God's love. He gave his only begotten Son. This is the expression and gift of God. God's love didn't just feel for the plight of a fallen world. God actually did something about it, right? He didn't just stay there like, wow, I feel really bad. These guys are crazy hurting. I don't know what's going on. No, God actually did something about it. And he gave the most precious thing to give, his only Son. The third thing we learn is we learn the recipient of God's love. Whoever believes in him, God loves the world, but the world does not receive or benefit from that love until it believes and receives in Jesus, the gift that the Father gave. Now, believes in means much more than an intellectual awareness or agreement. It actually means to trust in, to rely upon, and to cling on to. It's more than our intellectual knowledge, friend, or agreement. But it means to trust in him, to rely upon him, and to cling to. Here's what we also learn. We also learn the intention of God's love. This greatest gift ever should not perish. God's love actually saves man from eternal destruction. God looks at fallen humanity, does not want it to perish. And so in his love, he extends the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And last but not least, we learn the duration of God's love. It's the 5 things we're learning from John 3:16. Everlasting life. The love we receive among people may fade or turn, like we all know, right? We've all experienced, but God's love never changes. It's not short-sighted. Only does not last till Friday, till the money runs out. He will never stop loving his people, even into the furthest distance of eternity. Friends, we learn the duration of God's love. His love is everlasting. And so, this is why Jesus followers, as we learn this and we glean from this and we trust and we rely upon him, we begin growing up in Christ. We become generous like Christ because we're learning from his patterns and his rhythms and his behaviors. Giving like Christ because God gave his first and his best, who also gave his all. Gave his life. And this is why we practice giving at Christmas and I hope beyond Christmas. It's an action of surrender. It's an action of gratitude. It's an action of discipline. It's truly a reflection of who God really is. We get to be a part of being the best gift ever when the Holy Spirit is living in us and residing in us for the purpose of moving through us and affecting and impacting those around us. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It's not just for me, but he wants to work through us and talk through us and love on others through us, give through us. He is a generous God. He is the best gift ever. And he wants to and is being revealed in you and through you and I when you believe, when you trust, when you rely on him, when you cling to him. Beautiful. Now, you've probably heard of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Great Pyramid of Giza. The pyramid, the only wonder that still exists probably today, stood as the world's tallest human-made structure for nearly 4,000 years. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, Statue of Zeus, the Temple of Artemis, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, or whatever, Mr. Halicarnassus. Pharaoh's Lighthouse of Alexandria, the wonders of the ancient world. Maybe you've also heard of the seven wonders of the New World. Great Wall of China, the Mayan city, I think it's Chichen Itza. It's on the Yucatan Peninsula. I'm not very good at pronouncing different languages sometimes, but that's okay. The Khazneh, or the ancient city of Petra in Jordan, beautiful place to go and see. I've seen, I think, Melanie, or one of our friends was recently there. Machu Picchu, the Incan site near Peru, Christ the Redeemer, a colossal statue of Jesus standing on top a mountain in Rio de Janeiro, the Colosseum in Rome, the Taj Mahal. These are amazing wonders of the world. Now, here are the seven wonders of John 3:16 that I want to bring our attention to. According to Bible scholar and teacher David Guzik, and I love this, and when I saw it, I wanted to share it. Slide 9 for us. God, the almighty authority, creator of everything, including you and I. He so loved the world. It's the mightiest motive, so loved the world. Third one, that he gave his only begotten son, the greatest gift ever. That whoever is the widest welcome, believes in him, the easiest escape, should not perish, the divine deliverance, but have everlasting life, the priceless possession. The almighty authority, the mightiest motive, the greatest gift, the widest welcome, the easiest escape, the divine deliverance, the priceless possession. Friends, we're talking about the greatest gift ever. And I know sometimes as Christians, we don't really reflect on the true value, the true significance of the greatest gift ever. But I'm encouraging you over this season, as we take a break for Christmas, to truly reflect on the greatest gift that you've ever received, the craziest gift that you've ever received. When God looked around and he saw that the world was in trouble, he said, "What is something that I can only give?" And he gave us his son. And sure, this might be one of the weirdest gifts. We got a baby for Christmas, right? You're like, woo! But it happened because God wanted Jesus to be with us. Not just around us or floating high above us, but with us. Can you imagine the Son of God walking on this earth, breathing the same air that you and I breathe, tolerating the same snow that you and I tolerate, feeling what we feel, laughing and crying, hurting, cheering, eating and playing. Friends, Christmas, it truly is a celebration of the moment that the entire world changed. God sent Jesus to earth for you. For you, for you, for us, for all of us. And he gave what only he could actually give. The best gift ever is Jesus. Friends, everybody needs Jesus and everybody needs a home. We truly believe that here at Beloved. So this Christmas season, As you give and as you receive gifts, I want to remind you that we have been given the best gift ever given. So wrapping up today, John wraps up his testimony of Jesus with this in John 3, 31 to 36. I think I have it for you on the screen as well too. This is what he wraps up this testimony of Jesus we've been learning from. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. See, John wanted everybody to know where Jesus came from. Jesus, who was different from everyone because he comes from heaven, he came from heaven. Not only is he different, but he who comes from heaven is above all, meaning Jesus is greater than everybody else. John also wanted everyone to know that he whom God has sent speaks the very words of God, that Jesus is a uniquely reliable revelation of God in human form, because he has the Holy Spirit without measure, which of course would be in contrast to the prophets who came before him. See, John also wanted everyone to know that he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wrath here does not mean a sudden or passionate burst of temper here. Rather, it is the settled displeasure of God against sin. It would be like a divine allergy to moral evil. The very reaction of righteousness to unrighteousness, to light from light to darkness. And finally, because Jesus is a man from heaven, there's a heavy price to pay for rejecting him. If you reject the Son, then you receive the wrath. You live in the wrath. And this wrath abides in the world, because there's no statute of limitations on sin, friends. It continues to abide, because those who reject Jesus cannot offer a perfect sacrifice that is acceptable to God for their sins and their wrongdoings. The wrath of God actually abides until it is satisfied by receiving the perfect payment that Jesus actually made on the cross already for us. Will you receive such a perfect gift? If you haven't received Jesus as your gift, the best gift ever, will you tonight receive this gift? Will you say yes to Jesus? Or maybe you, like me, have said yes to Jesus in the past, and will you testify of this good news to someone else who's been planted in your life specifically for that purpose, who maybe hasn't said yes to Jesus? This Christmas season, will you commit to doing that? To share the good news, the best gift ever. Every one of us will touch somebody this Christmas season that does not know Jesus, who does not have a home to belong to, who's without and living in the wrath, is what the scripture says. Christless state of existence. Friends, I don't want to live in a Christless state of existence. I have come to know Jesus as good and perfect in my life. And the last thing I want to see is other people in my life not being able to experience that same greatest gift ever. Thanks, Jesus. You're a good God. Friends, will you pause with me to reflect and to pray?